It's the perfect season. And perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. Pierce, he loves it.
They've got the chocolates.
And he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Welcome to the first episode of the Monday Waffle Podcast covering the West Australian Football League every Monday until the end of season. I'm Ash Nelson. Pleasure to have your company. And with me today, I've got Simon Orchard and Matt Fasalis. Good morning, guys.
G'day,
Ash. How's it going, Ash?
G'day, Matt.
How's it going, Simon?
Yeah, feeling good. Can't wait to get into it.
Well, the season is almost upon us, guys. We're going to be chatting with Waffle commentator Mark Reddings, who's going to be giving his opinion on the rises and fallers plus players to watch. Eagles coach Luke Webster will be chatting to how is the newest team in the Waffle looking. And finally, the Monday Rumble, the head-to-head debate with all the topical matters of the Waffle. So all that coming up, but let's get started with taking a look at each of the teams in the Waffle. Simon, who do you have for us?
I'm going to start with Swan Districts, coached by Adam Pickering. Last year, finished 8th, 6 wins and 12 losses, and some players to watch in 2019. Rhys Palmer's been in the headlines for a variety of reasons the last couple of weeks, so it's going to be interesting to see if he's playing again in 2019. Matt Riggio and Corey Galt were two players that polled well in last year's Sandover medal, so I think they'll be players to watch. Some of the outs, Todd Banfield and Kurt Ugel go out. Jared Bly is also leaving the club. But George Hampson, he's one of the big ins. He comes across from East Fremantle. He's a player who's played over 100 Waffle games. 29 years old, so he'll add some experience to that Swan District side. He's won Best and Fairest Awards at both Subiaco and East Freo, and he's played for WA. So he'll be someone that'll come in and add steel, resilience, but he's a class midfielder as well. Jesse Glass-McCasker was once listed with Carlton, so he'll be playing for the Swans in 2019. I think the biggest issue for them this year, guys, is being competitive while continuing to develop and give opportunities to their kids. Their Colts side almost won the premiership last year, so I think it's going to be a really big challenge to get some of those young players into their side in this season.
Good. Matt, who have you got for us?
I've got Peel Thunder, and basically they were a bit unlucky in 2018, narrowly missed out on the finals there, but they've managed to keep their core group together. Howlett, Bunnell, Hancock, Bell, Lawler and Ugel all still playing for them in 2019, and they've actually managed to secure Jackson Merritt, who was delisted last year from Essendon's AFL side, so that's a huge get. They have had a bit of turnover in terms of Fremantle players retiring, like Daniel Pearce, Tommy Sheridan, Brady Gray, who's now playing for the Eagles, and of course Sutcliffe and Johnson, who all won't be there in 2019.
Well, I've got East Fremantle Sharks, and unfortunately East Fremantle Sharks, they were the Wooden Spooners last year. Historically, they haven't performed particularly well over the last few years. Second last in 2017 and just outside the top five in 2016. So it's been a tough couple of years for East Fremantle Sharks. The pre-season hasn't really been particularly good for them. It was a demolition against West Perth and didn't get much better against the newest team, Eagles. So that score there was 33-85. So it might be a bit of a lean year for the old East Fremantle Sharks yet again, but probably one of the biggest things that's actually happened at the club is that Rob Wiley actually resigned after just winning 2 games last year as coach, and instead he's been replaced by Bill Monahan, who is a huge pickup. He's come over from West Perth after leading them to a grand final performance. They didn't win obviously last year, but he's won a premiership in 2013, 2015, 2017, he went to a premiership with the West Perth side. So hopefully he can actually bring a bit of a winning culture to the East Fremantle side. One of the other big outs as well is that you were actually talking about before, Simon, is George Hampson leaving the side and heading away. Now, there seems to be a bit of a conflict here between the new coach coming in and George Hampson leaving. So whether or not that's going to leave a big hole in the forward line with him going away, or whether or not that's actually going to be a positive thing for their culture, we'll have to wait and see as the season goes on.
And for long-suffering East Fremantle fans, you have to think, well, Hampson, one of the most damaging and creative goal-kicking midfielders in the comp, a huge out for a club that struggled so severely in the last couple of years. So it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Well, Monaghan said this, the culture we want to build and the behaviours and work rate from the players that I'm expecting isn't mirrored with what George wants to do at this stage of his career. So some big words there.
Read between the lines,
absolutely.
Hey, I'm going to talk about the South Fremantle Bulldogs and their last practice game they played, the team that you just mentioned, Matt, the Peel Thunder. They went down 72-38, so not a great final hit out before the Waffle gets underway this weekend. Todd Curley's going to be coach again. And I think, guys, the premiership window might be sliding shut for South Fremantle. Interesting last year, they went out in a semi-final. They lost a semi-final to Subiaco by only 3 goals, one of the only teams to push Subiaco throughout the entire season, and then lost to West Perth in a prelim final. Now, they beat West Perth in the opening round of the finals by 98 points. So it was some sort of turnaround, and whether or not that took its toll on some of the older players, Shane Hockey, Ryan Cook, Ashton Hams, Corey DeLolio, and Ben Saunders have all retired. And one of the young stars of the Waffle in 2018, Mac Parker, has been drafted to St Kilda. Watched him run around on the weekend and looked superb. So, look, 2017 Sandover medalist Hayden Schloyth is still there. He's a perennial star of the competition. They've brought in Cade Stewart, who was once on the Hawthorn Hawks list. So he went out to Katanning, which I think he's from there. He played in the local league. He won the best and fairest. He ended up kicking 47 goals in 16 games. So he'll add some polish and a goal-scoring ability to the South Freo side in 2019. But I think the biggest hurdle for them, guys, is kicking winning scores. I talked about all those players that went out. There's over 120 goals from last season kicked by those players. So will the Bulldogs be able to put a winning score on the board in 2019? We'll have to wait and see.
One thing we also want to see is West Perth under their new coach, Jeff Valentine. And they've also secured the services of former Swan District's ruckman Troy Ukic, also my classmate in high school. So,
a bit of bragging rights there, Matt.
Worth mentioning.
What's he like in school?
Yeah, he's a pretty quiet guy, but yeah, he definitely...
You were better than him on the football field though, right?
Not at all. I'm a soccer guy. You got to remember that.
True, you are sitting there wearing a soccer shirt for a Waffle podcast, aren't it?
And also, in we have Lane Rasmussen. I hope I said that correctly. Out, obviously, a few retirees. We have Stephen Patente, Van Berlo, and Chris Quannon. Cody Manning has followed Bill Monaghan to East Freo. So that'll be an interesting watch this space situation.
Perth Demons finished just outside the top five last year. I get the feeling that they're still really predicted to sit about mid-table as well. They've got the big task of taking on the Eagles in the first game. They've got about a 46% win rate at Mineral Resources Park, as it is now named, rather than Lapland.
What a great stadium name.
Mineral Resources Park. You like it or no?
It just makes me want to go and check it out, yeah.
Go digging there. Yeah. Earl Sporting's still at the helm, and he's been there for a while now. He really focused on developing the younger players. That's sort of the culture that he wants to bring. So hopefully we'll see that come to fruition, maybe not this year, but over the next couple of years. One of the big ins, Matt Rogers, he's back at the club after a number of seasons at Swan District. So he's going to add a bit of experience to their midfield. That's a three-year deal that he signed. And 128 goals and 126 appearances. Chris Ryan from Subiaco, he's actually moved after struggling to get some time with a very strong Subiaco side. So he's obviously decided that it's probably going to be better for his career if he's on the field a little bit more. So that's a nice addition. And it's a good story as well because his father and also his grandfather used to play for Perth Demons. So maybe they're welcoming home a son and he feels like he's at home. Probably one of the big disappointments is that Gordon Narrier, who actually was a Kangaroos recruit, he is back, but he's had a pretty interrupted pre-season with a knee problem. So he probably will be playing, but to what sort of level, we'll have to wait and see. Guys, I'm also going to call halftime on this discussion because we're going to come back and do the remainder of the sides. But right at this very moment, we're actually going to talk to Waffle commentator Mark Reddings. Mark, who are going to be the risers and fallers of this 2019 season? We know that Subiaco won last year. What's your predictions?
Well, you'd have to think the Lions will be thereabouts again. They're such a strong club, really good history. They were beaten by Peel a couple of times, we know, in grand finals. But it does beg the question whether they can keep going back to the mountain and obviously their list and keep regenerating, which I think they can do, to be honest with you. They've got such a great culture at the club. So obviously no Jared Schofield this year. So a changing landscape for Subi. I think they'll be thereabouts again. I think Claremont can also cause some issues for other clubs this season. Pretty even, I have to say, throughout the rest of that mid-table range. I think West Perth are looking impressive during the pre-season. I know Perth just finished outside the five last year, but with Earl Spaulding sticking with the team and trying to obviously take that next step, I think they're going to be thereabouts. A big job, of course, for Bill Monaghan, ex-West Perth coach, now coaching the Sharks. So East Fremantle, you'd expect improvement from them. But if you're going to look at clubs that might struggle a fraction, I suppose East Perth, given the alignment with the Eagles has finished. So they're building a club from scratch in many ways. Again, Swan Districts can be competitive, but really their depth concerns me a bit. And, of course, East Fremantle, they've got a long way to go before they can challenge for, you'd think, a top two or top three spot.
Mark, you mentioned the dominance of Subiaco last year, winning across all three grades. Bo Wardman steps in this year and replaces Jared Schofield, who's off to the AFL. Does he have the hardest job in footy?
Well, it's a no-win situation, isn't it? They're coming off a season where they did not lose a game to, unfortunately, saying, here, mate, here's the reins, good luck. So it's going to be tougher, but no question that it's the toughest job in the WAFL because so much is expected of the club.
Well, you actually mentioned, interestingly enough, Monaghan going over to East Fremantle Sharks. How much of an impact do you think that he can actually have? And do you think that it was a bit of a mistake by West Perth getting rid of him?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting one, Ash, because when you look at what Billy has done at West Perth last season, they were extraordinary the way how resilient they got through the year with the off-field financial issues they had. They still made the grand final. So I think he's very good at keeping the group together and keeping players focused on what they need to. So I think he will be a real bonus for East Fremantle. They need to find something because their club has really been in a real hole for the last couple of years. But you'd think that Billy would certainly be great in that department. As for West Perth letting him go or Billy deciding to walk away, maybe it was at that stage, I think almost 8-9 years at the club, that it was the end of a marriage, which had worked pretty well, but perhaps they both read the writing on the wall. And I don't think either club's going to be, whether it be Bill or West Perth, either party will be looking back on their time together with regret. It was a good partnership. But like anything, coaches, their shelf life at one club can sometimes run out. And that might have happened with Billy.
Mark, there's plenty of stars running around in the Waffle on the weekend. We saw Jai Bolton win his second Sandover medal last year. You've got Kyle Horsley, Kane Mitchell, Shane Hockey, Josh DeLuca. Who are some of the rising stars that keen Waffle watchers can go out and watch on the weekend in 2019?
Well, I'll tell you what we will find even this Saturday, and we haven't touched on West Coast's new club, but they're going to be displaying some young talent that none of us have really seen. They're coming from the amateurs. So that's going to be something I'm really looking forward to coming across, what we see from these young West Coast players. So on that basis, there's certainly names that none of us have heard of that will get their opportunity. So that's all important. I mean, when you look at some of the kids that have come through, I really like some of the young players in the ruck that I saw last year. Oliver Eastland at Claremont, a young player who showed a bit, and I just think he's going to be one that could really take the next step. In fact, I think he's probably going to be drafted if all things are equal at the end of this season and he performs well. So those types of players who sneak under the radar a bit, played a bit of footy last year, just getting the taste, I think you might see across the board, five or six players really emerges as quality and helping out clubs across the competition.
And Mark, what's your opinion on Eagles establishing their own standalone Waffle club in contrast to previously being aligned with East Perth?
Well, I think East Perth are pretty happy they're going alone now. Look, they were helped out financially, no question about that. And they had some success over the journey with West Coast, but you always felt with East Perth that they'd lost a bit of their identity, a bit of their soul. So that, with their fans at least, meant a lot. So I think they're pretty happy that they're going to be a single identity. From their point of view, I think it's going to be tough to build the club almost from the ground up, but I think they know that's a long-term project. As for West Coast, always inevitable they were going to have their own team in the competition, just a question of when. And I think from a broad perspective of the Waffle, the power brokers will be hoping the West Coast reserves team is competitive, but not too good. So they've got to find the balance where they don't end up winning too many games and thrashing teams, and really, you can see if that happens, there'll be a crisis meeting amongst the other club presidents. But yeah, it's a fine balance. But I think West Coast will be competitive in the two practice games I've caught so far. They've been excellent against Peel. They were far too good, and against East Fremantle at the weekend. So there's a lot to like about West Coast. It all depends on what happens injury-wise with the main team. If there are plenty of injuries, that will, of course, affect the quality and the numbers that are available for their reserves team. But I think this new era for the Waffle is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And the Eagles, their team, is going to be of high priority when it comes to the image of the game. And let's hope that they are competitive, as I say, but they're not unbeatable.
We've been speaking with Mark Reddings, Waffle commentator. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Good luck for the weekend ahead. I hear that you are commentating all of the games, so you're going to be a busy man.
Will do. Thanks, Ash. And guys, great to chat to you, and hopefully speak during the course of the season.
It's the Monday Waffle podcast, and we're discussing the 2019 Waffle teams. Let's turn our attention to the Subiaco Lions now. As we spoke to Mark a little bit earlier, what can you improve on from the 2018 season? They went through undefeated. They've got a new coach in Bo Wardman, who arguably has the hardest job in footy. It's almost a
poison,
damned if you do.
Poison chalice.
Yeah, it almost is. Like, do you go with what's worked and continue the same game plan, or do you start afresh and create your own dynasty of kinds? So it'll be interesting to see what Wardman does in 2019. Kyle Horsley will be running around in the midfield. Leadership group members Lachlan Delahunty and Josh DeLuca were fantastic polars in the Sandover medal last year, so they'll be fantastic again, I'm sure, in 2019. Club legends Brad Stevenson, Adam Cockey and Chris Phelan all say goodbye. And Zach Clark, who had a phenomenal season in the ruck last year for Subiaco, is off to Essendon. Hasn't played a game yet in 2019, I believe, but he'll be a big loss for them as well. Harry Marsh, does that ring a bell for anyone listening around here? Played for the Sydney Swans for a couple of seasons. So he joined Subiaco in 2019 and will add another superior threat to what is already a premiership backline. Lee Kitchen will be the captain in 2019. And believe it or not, guys, Bo Wardman created history by becoming the first person to transition from Waffle umpire to senior coach this year without having previously played league football. So there you go.
Well, I think that's interesting in itself, isn't it? That he's someone that actually hasn't played league football and is a coach. So it kind of comes down to, is coaching about playing, or is it strategy, or is it actually about people management?
Do you think you'll be more reluctant to blame the umpires on a poor result?
I think he's got a right to actually go have a chat with them, doesn't he, though?
Yeah, maybe he'll have more of a rapport. I think the good thing about Subiaco, guys, good teams can win premierships, but great teams can defend them. So I think that's what they'll be trying to do in 2019.
And Claremont, a bit of a premiership contender. They came fourth last year with 10 wins and 10 losses, but they've definitely recruited well. They've got Callan England from West Coast, Declan Mountford from North Melbourne coming into the side. Jack Bradshaw returns, so does Jake Murphy, and Anthony Tracy they've gotten from Cable Beach. Unfortunately, a massive out in Jordan Clark leaving and going to Geelong in the AFL.
And doing well.
And doing very well, yeah, exactly. And Morgan Davies to East Freo with Bill Monaghan. So, one to keep an eye on.
Well, the other team to keep an eye on is the newest team in the Waffle competition. The Eagles are new to the league and coached by Luke Webster, who is an ex-Fremantle Dockers player, so ex-Freo player coaching the Eagles. It's a good fit. A lot of people tipping them to be finals bound, pending on how the actual Eagles go in the AFL and how many people they'll have available to play in this Waffle side. Probably the story of the off-season, or what's actually coming to a head at the moment, is what do they do with their players that actually aren't capable at playing at a Waffle level, because West Coast or the Eagles don't have a reserve side. So Eagles are now turning around and asking the clubs whether or not they can put their injured players or poor performing players that perhaps aren't ready for that Waffle level into other clubs. And the clubs are now turning around and are having a bit to say about it, saying, well, why should we actually do that?
So what's in it for us?
Well, what's in it for them? They're not getting paid to actually host these injured or players that aren't ready to play at a Waffle level, and they are taking up the spot of a potential junior at that club. So it's an interesting topic, and whether or not the WA Football League will step in and force clubs to actually take on these Eagles players, it could be something that's actually going to be happening over the next couple of weeks.
and something we'll discuss a little bit later in the podcast as well, when Matt and I go head-to-head about the benefit of feeder teams or reserves teams in the waffle. I think this is the last one, the East Perth Royals. Am I right?
Yes, I think you are. Okay. Yes, here you go, lucky last.
That's cool. Last year, finished fifth, an elimination loss to Claremont. Not a bad season, 8 wins and 10 losses. Patrick McGinnity, one of the stars of the East Perth Royals. Sharad Wellingham will be lacing them up again in 2019. Okay. And a familiar name for a lot of Eagles fans and Collingwood fans from before that as well. So he'll be pivotal to not only their on-field success, but would bring obvious leadership qualities, I believe, to the club. Jackson Ramsey, an ex-Collingwood player as well, joins the club in 2019. Nathan Blee was a member of the Port Adelaide Footy Club, and he'll be coming aboard. And it'll be interesting to see how Nathan Eaton and Ben Miller go in 2019. They were keys to the club's reserves grand final loss to Subiaco last year. So hopefully they'll get some more first grade opportunities in 2019. Some players have left the club, obviously, Ash, as you mentioned before. The East Perth alignment, this is the first time since 2013, I believe, that they'll be playing as a standalone club. So one of the biggest issues for them is obviously building club depth, building chemistry, because there's so many new players, and actually getting competitive teams on the park. I think it's going to be a difficult year for Royals fans, but patience is what I would preach. I think you need that. Jeremy Barnard was appointed as coach and straight away had to find a whole batch of new players to pretty much fill up this team. So he's a triple premiership captain, I should say, and he's probably the right man for the job. So I look forward to seeing how the Royals go in 2019.
And that's a recap of all the teams, guys. Just quickly, who are you tipping for the premiership?
Subiaco.
I'm going to go Claremont just to be different. So two Subiacos, one Claremont. We will wait and see what happens at the end of the season. We're going to be talking to Eagles coach Luke Webster coming up next. We're now joined on the Monday Waffle podcast with Eagles coach Luke Webster. Luke, how are you looking for the 2019 season? Must be pretty exciting to get underway.
Yeah, certainly. There's a great level of excitement for everyone, having a fresh new team. And in the competition, in the Waffle competition, we're all really excited and looking forward to the challenge of Perth this week.
Hey, Luke, tell us, what's the hardest part of being the inaugural coach of the West Coast Eagles reserves team in the Waffle?
Oh, I think I don't find anything really hard. I really enjoy the challenge of what we've had to go through in the process to put a list together, sort of have a look at all the different amateur clubs that are out there and put a list together to be able to bolster the AFL listed group we've got. And then I guess there's always a challenge of getting the group to gel together and connect together. And I think we've done a really good job in that space by working on training together and having a few different meetings together and opportunities to connect throughout the week with the AFL listed boys.
Luke, we'll talk a little bit more about the players coming up, but I just want to know a bit more about you as a coach. How hard do you think it's going to be coaching at a Waffle level when you're really representing as well an AFL club, which is the West Coast Eagles? Have you got someone looking down on you, sort of feeding you lots of things about what they actually want, and you're just standing there going, well, actually, this is my team?
I don't really. It's sort of going to be a little bit of the similar look of what we've had with the alignment with East Perth over the last couple of years, with myself coaching there. And obviously now it's going to be under a West Coast banner. We've had some really good conversations with Adam Simpson, Craig Bozzo, Gavin Bell, who are the guys who I directly report to as a development coach here as my second part of my role. Some good conversations around what we want to get from the team, the game style that we want to play, how do we want to then present that to the group, and how are we going to educate it? So I've been guided a little bit, but it's also too, I've got some really good autonomy in that space that Adam Simpson allows me to coach the way I want to coach and put the team together the way that we need to be able to put together and play with the strategies we want. And then obviously then from that flow on and getting feedback on how that looked and if it didn't work, or well, why did I do that and how can I do it better next time? So there's no real people looking over the top. They allow me some really good autonomy, particularly on game day, to be able to sort of put the processes in place that I feel that are going to best help the team on the weekend.
We're talking to Luke Webster. He's the coach of the West Coast Eagles Waffle team in 2019. Luke, last one for me. What do you have to say to the people out there that think that the feeder team or the reserve team for the AFL clubs maybe destroys the fabric of the Waffle? Do you agree with that sentiment at all?
Well, look, I I don't think it does. I think what it's going to do is, you know, obviously with the alignment that was with East Perth, it was a really good alignment and it serviced both clubs for a long period of time. The opportunity for obviously West Coast to get their own team into the competition, I don't think it'll ruin the fabric of the competition. I think it'll only bolster it with, you know, having a lot of AFL-listed guys in the one team, but it's also opened up opportunities for guys that might not have had a good crack at waffle footy over the time or have been playing a lot of amateur football and weren't really sure and couldn't really get in the door at a waffle club. And it's going to give them an opportunity to be able to come and have a good crack at waffle footy, which will only bolster the competition. So, you know, we're really respectful of obviously the waffle competition and obviously all the competitors in that. And, you know, I think we can only add value to this competition going forward.
Well, look, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on the Monday Waffle podcast. Good luck for your first game against Perth and good luck for the rest of the season as well, given it is the first one.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Guys, we're almost at the end of our podcast, but before we get going, we have got the Monday Rumble where we're going to debate the hot topic of conversation. And this week, the hot topic of conversation is whether or not standalone clubs are better than the alignment model. Now, this actually comes off the West Coast Eagles parting ways with East Perth for this season. Matt, do you want to go first and give us a reason why it is better to have the alignment?
Well, frankly, you know, I just think by having the alignment, it brings better talent to these local clubs. They get access to the coaching expertise of the AFL clubs and, you know, their talent pool. And I just think, you know, that these clubs can really benefit from the strategies. You look at Peel prior to being aligned, club with minimal success since 1997. 2016, 2017, premiers. So I think it can make a real difference.
Especially when it's been a poor performing club for a long period of time, maybe having those supplementary AFL players coming through can be of benefit and grow the club and keep it financially stable as well.
Precisely.
Simon?
I don't agree at all.
Of course
Clearly,
you don't.
It's part of the rumble. Last year, I believe, was the first time in maybe 8 years that one of the aligned clubs wasn't present in the Waffle Grand Final. So in 8 years before last year, I think East Perth or Peel Thunder were in the Waffle Grand Final, which I think is unfair. I'll tell you why. An Eagles list or a Dockers list would have somewhere around 40 players, maybe with rookie-listed players included as well. So they've got an enormous talent pool to pick from. Say 22 go away and play every weekend, maybe with a couple of travelling reserves. You've still got 14 or 15 AFL-quality players coming back into the Waffle to play for the feeder side. So I think, look, at the end of the day, if you're a young kid, you're growing up in the Peel region, you're trying to play for the Peel Thunder, that's all you've ever wanted to do, and then all of a sudden a Fremantle Docker comes out of the AFL and takes your spot, you're going to be disillusioned, not only with football, but with the club. You might go elsewhere. The other thing that I think it does, Matt, the long-time lure, I guess, of club sport or social sport has been about winning and success with your mates. That's what you want to do. With the aligned model, the West Coast Eagles waffle team or the Peel Thunder waffle team are more likely to be successful. We've seen that in the last 8 or 9 years. So is that going to push players away from wanting to win and be successful with their mates and just chase money at other clubs? If you can't win the title, why not go and earn some money playing for another club and spend every Saturday for 6 months doing that instead? So I think, look, at the end of the day, it's unfair. We've seen the results in the last couple of years. I think it was Subiaco went through the 2017 AFL season and maybe lost one game, waffle season, sorry, and lost one game. But then Peel Thunder rolled their AFL players back in and barnstormed them in the grand final. So,
but won't you still have those issues with the Eagles standalone side? Won't you still have those players rolling in? So I don't think then an Eagles standalone side is the answer. I think the alignment worked just fine. By creating a standalone side, all you've done is move the problem to another side. And in fact, what you've actually done is taken that talent pool and dispersed it and spread it even more thinly. So these battling clubs now have to compete with an extra side to try and get a list together.
Well, already we're seeing another, I guess, issue with the amalgamation. West Coast, and Ash alluded to this earlier in the show, West Coast have already gone to waffle clubs around the competition and said, look, we want Nick Natanui to come back and play in your reserve side because we don't think he can play at waffle level. There's another player, Patrick Bynes, who I think's rookie listed at the West Coast Eagles, that they don't want him to play in their waffle side because he's not up to the rigours of waffle yet. So they're putting the hand out, the olive branch, to say to other clubs, well, can you take these players on board, play them in your reserves club, give them a spot of one of your rising stars or someone who's been at the club for 10 or 15 years, and then we'll take them back when it suits us.
And that's just wrong, if you ask me.
Oh, we agree.
Yeah. Hey, so we've come to a conclusion then, have we? Well, we would love to hear your opinion. That was the Monday Rumble. If you have an opinion on this, head to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and share it with us. Equally, if you have a topic that you would like discussed, make sure you put it on there. That's all we have time for. Thanks for tuning in. The Waffle starts this weekend. Catch you next Monday.